Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome to Pints and Pairings.
I'm Curtis Taylor.
And I'm Jason Hendrick with Everybody's Hungry. This is the minimalist show.
It is the minimalist show. We've got, we're two dudes with a microphone and a camera.
I was not ready for that. Definitely not ready for that. I got to make sure to keep the microphone on my chin, though, yeah? So that everyone can hear me clearly.
And I'm going to try not to laugh right into the microphone like I did just then. So when I laugh, so we're sitting here in the patio of Bear House 101 getting ready for our Lost Abbey Port Brewing flight night. And I'm already in a rare mood. I don't know what it is.
I'm just kind of in a rare mood, too. It might be the moon in alignment or something, but especially for tonight, with 10 beers on the Lost Abbey flight, there was going to be too much equipment to do a real show, too much drinking and too much equipment. That was a recipe for disaster.
Right. So we've just got these two microphones hooked into the iPhone, broadcasting through Ustream. And, you know, so what's an important lesson here is just to kind of follow Hophead said to watch live or the Facebook page, Pints and Pairings, and you would know when we're doing this because right now it's going to be a total blackout except for the people who accidentally stumble on us. So what's happening here?
I referred to this earlier in the week as the guerrilla broadcast.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the guerrilla broadcast. So just as we were talking, there's this one of the V-Dub, kind of the precursor to the Westfalia V-Dub vans that just went by. Yeah. Did you see that thing?
I did not see it. I felt its presence, though.
It was riding like this. I don't know what was in the back of
that. I want that one. It's a Pinstriper's car.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a local rod shop.
It had a big old decal on the side, but that isn't going to make it even through the intersection with a small dip. It's going to go smashing through. You know, before we get started, because every one of these little episodes is going to be, they're going to be pretty quick. You know, we're just having fun hanging out. I want to make sure that we hit all of our sponsors, you know, real quick. We're driving. Obviously, they're going to be getting me home tonight. It's a fantastic driving service out of Oxnard, California.
Go to their web.com.
Go to their website, weredriving.com, W-E-R-E, driving.com. And then, you know, just get home safe, because while we're starting early and we're quitting early, that doesn't mean that I'm going any slower this evening.
No, you already have a lineup in front of you. You're geared and ready for a night of fun.
Yes.
But we're also broadcasting here from Barrel House 101 in downtown Ventura, and they are the premier tap house here in Ventura. 101 beers on tap, really quality menu. The menu's just getting better as well. New chef and a great new pastry chef. If you want to get a quality beverage and some really tasty food here in Ventura, stop at Barrel House 101 right off the 101 freeway. Follow them at barrelhouse101.com.
You know, I don't know how I got so lucky to fall in with such great friends. One of them owns Barrel House 101, so it's become my home away from home of sorts. You know, whenever I need a beer, that's where I'm at. And then you, Jason, my goodness. So just so people know, you got to go to Ventana Magazine. So is it Ventana.com?
It is VentanaMagazine.com.
VentanaMagazine.com. A full, like, this giant spread of Jason and all the good
that he's
doing.
Let's not say giant spread of Jason. It's too early in the night for that.
I'm thinking of a George Costanza on the couch, boudoir sort of.
What does he say, Talladega Nights? Where he's like, never mind, we won't go there. Go to Talladega Nights and watch the clips in the hospital where he's talking about his magazine article.
So anyway, Jason's in there. They're highlighting Jason and his website. You know, he's the founder of Everybody's Hungry. It's this great organization. Helps to bring awareness about all the hungry people in Ventura County and beyond. So make sure you go there. You get a beautiful picture, beautiful pictures, first of all. A wonderful photograph of you and your wife, Brie, at the farmer's market here in Ventura.
We had a fun time. The actual vendor of that tent was really generous, allowed us to go behind his space. They had artichokes and asparagus and fun guy. I actually was, like, handling some transactions with customers during the photo shoot. This girl came up, and I was telling her about the artichokes, and I'm like, oh, no, you want to get the ones that are, you know, a little more green here and do it. So I end up selling artichokes during my photo shoot for this magazine article.
It's fantastic. And one of the great things about it, because I skimmed through it real quick before, because the announcement came just as I was getting in the car ready to come here, I had to see what they quoted me as saying. And thankfully for our friendship, they cut out all the bad stuff I said. They went right to the good stuff.
Yeah, they cut out 90% of the phone conversation.
Like, wow, we were on the phone for 15 minutes and you pulled that out. Nice, way to go.
No, great editing, quality of magazine, quality organization
right,
over there.
No, it's in all truthfulness, it's I'm looking forward to reading it, and everything I said was true.
Well, I was really honored to be featured in that magazine, largely because one of our other great supporters of the Pints and Pairings show, Foodshare. Everything I do, I try to bring the Foodshare brand along with me, and they were a prominent focus of this article. And I really got hooked up with Ventana through another partnership. They threw my name in the ring for this year, for this month's feature. And again, it just helps reinforce all the great partnerships, because the Everybody's Hungry brand, and for that matter, the Pints and Pairings brand, wouldn't be what it is right now without some really awesome partnerships and some really great people that own small local businesses here in Ventura County. So it was, I'm really humbled to be featured in that way. And it was a really awesome article in the sense that many of the places that I'm partnered with on different projects were mentioned directly by name in the article.
I'm going to have to read it now. And I'm just going to. So I'm looking forward to doing that. You know, I think maybe one of the reasons why I'm in such a mood today,
you
know, is because we just came off of one of the most epic beer weekends that I've had in a long time.
It needed its own theme music.
It did. And kind of like the $6 million man sort of, yeah, theme music. There you go. In that we did, there were seven guys in 135-foot.
29-foot. Let's not give it
the extra foot.
On one wall, there was a three-tiered bunk system, okay? And the two of the three biggest guys of the whole group stayed in those bunks. I actually had, as one of the smallest guys, the biggest sleeping space. I'm not sure how I finagled that.
Well, I think what it was is all those, on the whole way up, I think that whole, so we had to take two cars because there were just too many of us. Jason,
well,
and
not
I,
to mention all the supplies those guys brought. They thought we were going in like deep hills of the Sierra or something.
I know. They brought enough beer for a good week, not just the day that we were going to be drinking beforehand. Like they thought we were going to be drinking after the festival.
Oh, maybe there's no beer. Firestone able to run out. We'll need to supply our own.
We'll have to do something. So I think what they were doing is they were talking the whole way up about how, if there's bunk beds, whatever, that we're going to take those just so that we're not laying out in the open. But seriously, you get seven guys in one trailer, the sounds and the smells.
I haven't had that worse of an experience smell-wise and aromatherapy-wise since 2001.
Oh.
there were six of us in a Chevy Astro van that drove from Indiana to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl when Purdue played Washington. And it was quite similar.
Yeah, I've had that that experience where I had four guys in a two-door Sunbird.
You told me about that.
From South Dakota
all
the way to Phoenix, Arizona.
It has classic historical relevance based on the Sunbird alone.
Yeah,
and then you shove four guys into two doors of it.
Right. And they were and I was one of the smaller guys, too. So, I mean, there were 2'6", you know, so there wasn't much legroom to go around. But anyway, so just coming off of that where we haven't had time really even to decompress because we had to come back so early to get to the Costa Pacifica Wine, Food, and Brew Festival, which we both had official capacities with. And we didn't, it was just from one thing to the next. And I feel like this is what tonight's all about, is just
decompressing. That's why we're down with minimalist equipment. I spent the last 4 days emailing all these connections we made at the two festivals. Let's go back to the journey on the way up, though. It's really cool. We were able to stop at the Libertine. And head brewer Tyler took us on an amazing journey through their brewing process. It's, you know, a tiny little pub, but his cellar, there's so many barrels. I think we tasted 8 or 9 beers out of the barrel directly. You pull a little screw out of it, and the beer starts flowing into your glass.
It was a stainless steel nail he pulled right out, which is something that people actually employ. I mean, that's an actual technique.
Yeah,
it's not
a one-off. He didn't do that by mistake.
No, and so the Libertine Pub in Morro Bay, you need to make sure that you go and check that out. Tyler was a fantastic host, walked us through, you know, the whole set of brewing methods, one of which is a fairly unique method in that he doesn't have a true boil kettle. He doesn't have a direct hit heat or even a steam jacket.
Hot lava rocks.
So you put lava rocks on the grill, on his gas stove. They heat them up, and then they quick drop it into the water. And then...
Totally innovative.
Yeah, well, it's not so much.
I would say innovative in a very historic manner.
There you go, right? Because this is how you got things boiling. You know, whatever it was 1,000 years ago, 400 years ago, maybe, but thousands.
That's a big gap.
Thousands pushing it. Yeah, I was trying to do some quick math in my head, and it failed.
That's all right.
But so I mean, he's
it's working though, and he's got the cool ship. I mean, he's putting, you know, his for better or worse, he's putting his work and exposing it right out in the open into this stainless steel tank, waiting for bugs to show up, and it's turning into some delicious stuff in those barrels.
Right, and one of the things, you know, there's a strong lactic, I think, in all of his beers. A really wonderful sort of tart flavor in the background on all the beers. And it kind of comes through in what he was telling us is that, yeah, there's a fermentation that happens there, but it's the tank that stays covered and warm where the fermentation
yeah,
takes off.
Yeah, he said it was covered and warm for upwards of a day to two days.
A couple days, right, before they blend them back together. And then that's where a lot of the fermentation is happening, is in the big tank. They're just introducing some of these wild, I guess it would be fauna, I think.
Yeah.
The flora or the fauna, whichever one. I mean, so Morro Bay is just, it has this, with his windows open, he's always going to have a breeze coming off the bay.
Right off the water.
It's a
cool brininess. I mean, I felt like I tasted the brininess from the air a little bit in a couple of the beers. And that baby's feet, named after his child, who stomped the grapes.
Right.
Before put in a barrel, that was delicious, and the whiskey barrel offering was one of my favorite. Like those two bookended the tour for me.
And so, if you want to taste the beers, you need to go to Morro Bay. They are bottling, but it's a very small bottling, and they have a club, and they've sold out.
Yeah, there are stacks and stacks of boxes, and he said, "Oh, sorry guys, those are all allocated."
Right. Well, and we were ready to buy as many bottles as we could get.
We were going to stack Joby's truck chock full of.
But no, that's not happening. Those were already bought and paid for, and
none of those people were there to schmooze and sweet talk for models.
Right,
sorry.
That's right. So I met, and then also met his co-owner, and the name is just boom, just shot out of my head. But those two are working together to recreate this pub. You know, they've torn out walls, put in new
big plants, multi-story pub.
Right. So it's make sure you go there. After that, you know, we ended up driving the back roads to Paso Robles, and then it took us to Atascadero.
Yeah, and I found this other brewery on Yelp, like one of the few times that Yelp actually came through for me on a good find. Unfortunately, because a lot of times, you know, people get on there and they leverage Yelp for their own personal benevolence.
Right.
But this time around, I did a search.
Malevolence.
That too. I put in brewery to the search, and thankfully this brewery showed up right on the path that we had to take back to the 101 anyway, and it was Molly Pitcher Brewing Company right there at the 101 in the heart of Atascadero. Quality little brew pub. They're using a 7 barrel system. Watch out for this semi.
Hold on a sec. Hello, United Paving Company.
That's a sponsored break by United Paving and all their audio gloriness.
There it is.
But again, Molly Pitcher Brewing Company, right at the 101 in Atascadero, it had a 7-barrel system that is only a year old.
Right.
They were initially just a beer pub.
Well, and they were a 1-barrel system to start off with.
Yeah, and they've expanded quickly. The IPA was delicious. It had a great dankness, a really quality hop presence, and it finished clean and a little bit of fruitiness coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But the ESB, I thought, was a really cool offering as well.
Well,
not many people carry ESB.
No, and I'm looking forward to going back there at some point when I'm not the DD.
Now,
I took my division of labor very seriously. I had one beer at lunch.
Division of labor. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Well, you know, Joby and I were the drivers, and the rest of you were the drinkers, and I was happy to do that. I mean, really, I was.
You made up for it later on.
Yeah, I did. I made up for that. But the IPA was one of the best, and we've talked about the term dank before and how I don't necessarily agree with it, but that is the only way that you could.
Yeah, it was an interesting kind of musty, wet leaf forest characteristic in the aroma that translated, again, into the palate, but in a much more subdued manner. There's more fruit that came out on the palate than there was in the aroma, and I think it was a great balance.
Yeah, and this was a 6.5% IPA. I mean, their pale ale was somewhere in the 5% too. So they were taking the style guidelines to heart when they brewed these beers. But this beer had the aroma and the hop flavor of a double IPA. I mean, if you had been handed this beer and didn't know that it was a 6% beer, there's no way you would have been clued into that.
No, and it just really clean and refreshing. Again, I started with the ESB though, and it had a really cool caramelization in it. Had some just quality underlying grain notes that you would expect out of an ESB. I think it was, like you said earlier, true to characteristic style. Mm-hmm. Very happy about that one. I wanted to give a quick shout out though to our gracious host, because they weren't expecting seven guys to show up and really occupy the shuffleboard table for a while. Which we should mention, the shuffleboard table, a really cool example made out of concrete, and just it zoomed. We had an awesome time there.
So here's along with this. So we'll just give a couple shout outs to some people that were with us that our listeners are familiar with. George Allen from Ojai Beverage Company. He's been on the show before. He has some sort of magic touch that can turn a game
magic
of foosball
touch.
Or a game of shuffleboard into an hour event.
And a competitive event. So the person I want to mention was Brian Vogel, who was proprietor and he really handles, he's one of the owners of Molly Pitcher. He was watching us at the shuffleboard table in awe. I don't think he expected it to be like borderline tournament style play.
Right. Well, so George does. George turned all of those into
every
it.
Activity.
Well,
almost. Even cooking at the grill turned into be a competitive.
Well,
experience.
So that's partly because of the seven of us that went. Three of them are cousins, and then one of them works with the cousins. So they're all really comfortable with each other and pushing themselves. So it was, you know, there was that. What do I say? When everyone is getting together and people all know each other. So I mean, we were kind of softly, we were broken into them. They took it easy on us. How about that?
Yeah, that's. I would agree with that.
There's a word that's just throwing me that means all of that. But really, what it was is they went easy on us.
Because we weren't initiated into the group yet.
No, up until the very last night.
I think I was the first one to fall asleep on Saturday night, which is not a good thing.
No, it is never a good thing. But even though I think they were still being kind to us, and that you only got 1.5 fingernails painted and only 1.5 toenails
painted.
Well, just
throw it out there. You know. 'Cause I believe, just to recap the dialogue, on Sunday morning, before we're getting ready to head out to Cost Pacific and rush back to Ventura County, the question came up, hey, so did you get a manicure or a pedicure last night? To which I replied, no.
No.
Like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't think I got a manicure or pedicure. And they looked at me real puzzlingly, like, wait a minute, are you sure?
Wait.
I said, I don't consider 1.5 toes a pedicure. And they all started cracking up.
Yeah, I ended up waking up partway through. I don't know how they skipped over me.
Maybe you smelled.
Maybe. Like, leave me alone. But Jason and I, we ended up, especially the first night, everyone went out, we stayed in. But then that meant that we got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30.
And we made breakfast.
Yeah, and everyone else got up too. So, you know, and then, of course, the Firestone Walker event was incredible as it was last year.
Always a premier event. This year I sent over an email to Jim Crooks and Jeffers from Barrel Works to say, please pass on our appreciation. I felt like this year's check-in was a lot faster and smoother mm-hmm. than last year. The way they had the flow for the glass pickup and the trays and that just seemed to really move well this year. Last year it seemed a little more congested and mm-hmm. we were waiting almost like a Disneyland ride.
Right.
And it just flowed well this year. And by the time we got into the festival, tents were hopping. I mean, people were just really excited about the festival as a whole.
Yeah, and I won't belabor it too much just because there's a million bloggers out there that have already done their photo recaps and their other recaps. So just do a search for hashtag
FWIBF.
There it is.
Fwibif.
Fwibif. And you'll find all the pictures and Instagram photos, tweets, and everything else that you need to know. Just know that there was a bunch of great beer. And you need to do all you can to go to this event. At
least
one
time. It sells
out
like in a blink of an eye every year. But it's an amazing event to go to. It, again, a premier event here in California in terms of craft beer. And we made some really cool connections. So some of those people that we were walking the festival with and really kind of infiltrating behind the tents with are going to be on this show in the future. We're making some really great connections, and they're going to profile some leaders in the craft beer industry.
Right. And, I mean, Jason certainly was the guy who had business up front, too, the whole time. I was just...
My brand new Pints and Pairings staff badge that I created, it worked like a charm. Joby got booted from the Firestone tent, and I was pouring beer because the girl said that, no, I had a badge. I could say...
Your credential badge for the show was the best. That is true. Oh, damn it, and I was going to wear my credential.
He's show staff. Pints and Pairings show staff. He could stay.
Right, so I'll get out my... hand-me-down.
I already have your template credential ready. We're going to print you a badge as well. I didn't think you'd wear it. I thought you'd find it goofy. But you know what? It worked, and now everybody wants one.
You know what? I probably would have thought it was kind of goofy, and I was just there to drink. But you have taught me something really
important. I literally infiltrated 8 or 9 tents with Dr. Bill from Stone Brewing Company and a couple of the distributors that we're going to be featuring in the next few weeks. And they were totally gracious. The hospitality at all the tents was amazing. But the fact that I got just hook, line, and sinkered into this group, and everyone was looking at my badge like, "Oh, what's that?" And so I'm handing out Pints and Pairings business cards. It was a fantastic experience, and I only boast about it this way because I want to be able to share those same connections with our audience. So stay tuned because we're gonna have some really cool people coming on that love craft beer as much, if not more, than some of us behind the mic.
Certainly, and just to celebrate the fact that. I only had one Firestone Walker beer while I was at the Firestone Walker Invitational. I'm having a giant pint of Double Jack tonight, so just to kind of kick the night off on the right foot. We weren't done drinking.
We were not.
When the festival quit.
We ended up at a hot tub at the RV park where we were crashing that we dubbed the Dirty Grotto because it was surrounded by these rock formations that were clearly handmade, but just gave an interesting altitude feel.
Yeah, I was going to actually skip over that because while you hadn't stopped drinking, I had that evening.
Let's be clear.
I was nursing.
You not only stopped drinking, but at one point I believe you napped on one of the rocks.
I was napping.
I call it nap and rally.
I'd had a long day. So it was maybe more of an involuntary nap and rally, but it was still there. And then we come back to Camarillo the next day. We leave Paso Robles at 7 o'clock, 7:30. All the way back to the Costa Pacifica.
It was an amazing drive. I have to tell you, considering the time we stopped drinking and just a jam-packed full of activity at Firestone Walker, coming down the grade back towards Ventura, Santa Barbara and Ventura County, the way the fog was socked in on the freeway down the 101, it just was kind of one of those reminders, like, hey, you guys had an awesome time, and you're just on your way to some more fun stuff.
Right. So then we spent another afternoon drinking wine. I don't know. Well, did you drink any wine?
I had a little bit of Saison just to cleanse my palate, but no, I was done with any adult beverages for the day.
I had a few drinks here and there of my wife's wine, and I had a couple beers.
All right.
Because that was part of my gig.
The wine, food, and brew component.
The wine, food, and brew component. And so, you know, it's just there were close to 5,000 people there. You know, great music, great food, and... maybe the highlight for me, though, is that a sporadic guest on our show, Anastasia Chavez, won again.
Yeah. You know, this year, we want to definitely showcase and highlight Anastasia with her berry balsamic cheesecake concoction. It was Genoise and macerated berries and this infusion of sour red ale. Like, there's probably 20 ingredients. The list was huge on how many ingredients were in her cake. Which comes back as a repeat champion 2 years in a row under a different restaurant name. But the savory side also had a repeat champion from last year.
Oh.
Yeah, Tierra Sur was champion last year as well. So it was a double repeat. She's already saying she's not sure if she's going to come back for a third year because she's concerned about the level of competition and whether or not she can create something masterful again next year that will compete. I said... Jordan never debated whether or not he'd come back for another championship. He just said, I'm going to be back.
Yeah, she doesn't get a chance. She doesn't get a choice in that. We'll decide for her.
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, this is
that's what happened this year. We were all drinking beer. It was like, you got to do it.
And this is a dynasty in the making. I mean, this is what
you heard it here, folks. You heard it here. I can't even say the words. I'm so excited with that statement. You heard it here first, folks. Curtis Taylor dubs Anastasia Chavez and the Barrel House 101 brands as a dynasty for Costa Pacifica Wine, Food, and Brew Festival Sweets Competition.
I was talking to Joby afterwards, and he told her that, you know, you're going to be making that for like a month now.
He's like
and
a proud papa, too. Oh, he was posting photos like, I'm so proud of this girl, like, as he should be. But, I mean, he was gushing over the accolades.
And just to, I don't know, kind of demonstrate what kind of pastry chef she is, she was so bummed that she was going to have to make that dessert and have it on hand for the next month. She was, no, please, I don't want to do this again, because she wants to go on and make something else.
Every dish is something just tweaked a little bit or a new infusion. Right.
And many times with the flight nights, like what we're doing tonight, although she doesn't have anything planned for this evening.
That's not true.
Oh, does she? Fabulous. All right, so then, never mind that last statement. But she makes something special to go with the beers when these flight nights come around. So she's always making something brand new. So just another reason for you to come to Barrel House 101 on a Thursday night, because generally it's a flight night around here, and to try Anastasia's new desserts, certainly.
That's a great place to kind of wind up, because
I think so.
We know we've got beer coming from Lost Abbey and from Port down in San Diego. 10 beers are on flight tonight. We're done kind of recapping our weekend and getting ready for another wave of drinking. But there's going to be some food on its way, too, because we can't miss out on the desserts and the beer pairing. We appreciate everyone tuning in to Pints and Pairings, because without you, this would just be two guys and a mic drinking beer.
Let's say two guys, two microphones, two beers, and one.
Sure, we're not really sharing a mic yet, are we?
No, that would be kind of weird.
Eventually, we'll get enough beers that we'll duet on one mic.
No, we won't be doing that at
love
all.
Love you.
No, we won't be doing that. You know what? So just kind of, you know, all the same places. Pints and Pairings on Facebook, and because we're on the patio and we're on a major road through Ventura, of course we're going to have emergency vehicles come through here at least one time.
If you have an emergency vehicle coming up behind you, get out of the way, because it could be your loved one that they're running off to.
That's right. So Pints and Pairings, hashtag Pints and Pairings, hashtag Beer Suggestioneers. Find us on hophead.com/Pints and Pairings. If you go to pintsandpairings.com, you'll get to the same spot. What else is there?
That's a mouthful.
Okay, that's good.
Do Google search. Google's king right now.
It is. It is the king. All right, so let's just call this quits then.
And let's see him at the next pour.
Sounds good.
Cheers.